If you were here on Sunday, that slide looks familiar. Chapter 9 and chapter 10 of the Gospel of John are one extended scene for the Gospel writer. The Gospel, as I told you, follows a pattern of sign, dialogue, and discourse. After a sign or a miracle, there is a dialogue between Jesus and his disciples or others gathered in the crowd, and then a discourse in which he interprets the sign and teaches his disciples and the crowd. Chapter 10 is the discourse that follows the healing and dialogue in chapter 9. Now, Sunday there was a lot of excitement, so I didn't preach my full sermon. I skipped the interpretation of the text and just shared with you the story and application of that text. So if chapter 9 and chapter 10 go together, I feel like I need to back up a little bit and preach on chapter 9 so that we can understand chapter 10. So we are going to start with the video from chapter 9, which we saw on Sunday. We'll watch again.
Blind. Teacher, whose sin caused him to be born blind? Was it his own or his parents' sin?
His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. He is blind so that God's power might be seen at work in him. As long as it is day, he must keep on doing the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, and no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light for the world.
After he said this, Jesus spat on the ground and made some mud with the spittle. He rubbed the mud on the man's eyes.
Go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam.
This name means sent. So the man went, washed his face, and came back, seeing. His neighbors then, and the people who had seen him begging before this, asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?"
"He's the one."
"No, he isn't. He just looks like him. I am the man. How is it that you can now see?"
"The man called Jesus made some mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash my face. So I went, and as soon as I washed, I could see."
"Where is he?"
"I don't know."
Then they took to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. The day that Jesus made the mud and cured him of his blindness was a Sabbath. Pharisees then asked the man again how he had received his sight.
He put some mud on my eyes. I washed my face. And now I can see.
A man who did this cannot be from God, for he does not obey the Sabbath law. How could a man who is a sinner perform such miracles as these?
And there was division among them.
You say he cured you of your blindness. Well, what do you say about him?
He is a prophet.
So following the sign of Jesus giving the man his sight, there's a dialogue between Jesus and his disciples. And the disciples first tried to make sense, before the sign. Jesus and his disciples are trying to make sense of why the man is blind. The disciples want a cause and effect so that they can understand why this man is blind. And I think it's part of our human condition to try and understand why bad things happen so that we can try to control those bad things so they don't happen to us. The disciples asked Jesus whose sin had caused the man to be born blind. And Jesus said neither his parents nor he had sinned. So it wasn't sin that had caused his blindness. So we can't blame him or his parents for his blindness. So historically, we blame God. We blame God for this man's blindness in the way that we interpret this text. There's a biblical scholar, Craig Kester, who, as much as Cliff goes to Minneapolis, should probably go meet. Craig teaches in Minnesota. So he interprets this text for us differently. He said there's a problem with the way that most translations offer this text for us. Kester says that the Greek does not include the phrase, he was born blind. So let's take a look at what this means. The New Revised Standard Version says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. He was born blind is not in the Greek. So let's take a look at it in the New King James Version. This is not the King James with the thus and the thou. This is the new one. And it's a little closer to the original Greek. And I've taken the liberty of removing punctuation because there's no punctuation in the original Greek. So it says, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must work the works of him who sent me. So we're getting closer to the original intent of the Greek. So here's the translation that Craig Kester offers. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but in order that the works of God may be manifest in him, we must work the works of him who sent me. This is a huge shift in the theology of this text. In English, we think that the man was born blind so that God could be glorified in his healing, as if God made the man blind so that God could glorify himself. The Greek doesn't say that God made the man blind. It does say that God will be glorified when the man is healed. And it may seem like splitting a hair, but it's a theological hair that I think needs split. The translation problem is the difference between God doesn't give us more than we can handle, which is theology I hate. Instead, it's more God gives us the strength to handle what we've been given. It's better theology. Because God is not glorified in testing us. He is glorified in helping us. So following the sign of giving sight to the blind man, there's a dialogue between the Pharisees, the previously blind man, and his parents, We saw part of that scene in the temple. The parents are later called in and they're asked, how does this man now see? Was he actually born blind? And the parents are like, well, he's of age. You're going to have to ask him. And then they ask the man again, how is it that you see now? The Pharisees are stuck in the mud because they can't understand how a man of God would perform a sign on the Sabbath. And the man given sight argued that Jesus was from God if he performed this miracle. The man's parents are going to stay out of it. They're going to let him handle it. The Pharisees eventually throw the blind man out of the synagogue. But to be honest, he was already not included in the synagogue because of his blindness. What the Pharisees affirmed for him that day was that he was still not welcome in the synagogue. So next begins the discourse between Jesus and he's teaching those gathered. And it starts a short teaching on spiritual blindness, and then he comes to a teaching on the sheep and the gate. And we're going to watch part of chapter 10 in which he talks about the sheep and the sheep pen and the gate and the shepherd.
I am telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow someone else. Instead, they will run away from such a person because they do not know his voice.
Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he meant. So Jesus said again,
I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Those who come in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life. Life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me. And I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do.
Those were two long readings, and I thank God that we have the videos, because if I had read those two long readings, I would have lost you. The discourse that we just saw is about who's in and who's out and who decides. The previously blind man was excluded from the synagogue. He was excluded when he was blind and begging. He was excluded because of his illness and how he provided for himself. And now after he's been healed, he has been excluded because he is well and won't deny how it happened. Jesus' discord is a condemnation of the religious system that had excluded people from the religious community who were most in need of God's comfort, healing, and provision. The Pharisees decided who was in and who was out of the temple and the synagogues. People were banned from the temple and synagogues for many reasons. Eunuchs weren't allowed. Lepers weren't allowed. People who were born blind and lame were not allowed. If someone had been excluded from the temple and synagogues because of an illness, like leprosy or blindness, they would have to go to the Pharisees or the Jewish leaders following their healing for the Jewish leaders to affirm that they had been healed so that they could then start attending a synagogue and the temple. Jesus is saying no more of this. He says, I'm the gate. I decide who's coming in the gate to the sheep pen. Jesus doesn't want anyone to be excluded from the community of people of faith anymore. From now on, he decides who's in and who's out. And the ones who have been excluded are going to be the ones that he includes. He says his sheep will know his voice and follow him. He moves from the metaphor of the gate by which the sheep will enter to this metaphor of the good shepherd who leads his sheep. The blind man was the sheep that heard his voice and responded without seeing him to his commands to go and wash his face in the pool. He followed the good shepherd's instructions and was healed, by which God was glorified. As we begin the season of Lent tonight, which is a season of repentance, we can be assured that as we confess our sins, that despite all of our failings, we are included in the sheepfold because we know the good shepherd's voice and choose to follow him. We are safe to confess and repent of our sins because we are included in the community of people of faith by the grace of God. We're here tonight to acknowledge that we are sinners. We are sinners in need of forgiveness. And we come to be marked by the sign of the cross that we are repentant of our sin, knowing that as dust before God, we ourselves are unworthy of his mercy. As we are marked with the sign of the ashes tonight, I will either tell you, from dust you came, and from dust you shall return, which is very traditional language. Or I may also say, repent and believe in the gospel. Both are traditional sayings that a priest or a pastor would convey to you as we're making the sign of the cross on your forehead. From dust you came, to dust you shall return, is a reminder of our mortality. And we are here for a short time, born sinners in a sinful world, rightly judged, unworthy of mercy, yet freely forgiven in Christ. Repent and believe in the gospel reminds us that as surely as we repent of our sins, we are forgiven by the grace of Jesus. And he is the one who conveys to us the promise of eternal life.